Okay, if you've got a Bible, turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That is where we're going to be in a minute. And I got a couple other things I'd like to share with you before we get there. But 1 Corinthians is where we'll kind of light here in a little bit and stay for a little bit of time. Well, we have started this series. This is a powerful series. Not because I'm doing it, but because it, not just powerful, but practical. It makes us take a look at things in things that sometimes we make very important to us, and makes us question if they've gotten to have too big of a place, and to a point of even worship. Again, it's not that either something is a god or it's not a god. It's something that we head toward. It's something that grows in us. And we've described a god or an idol, however you want to say it, god little g, is that anything that takes the place of the true God. And so we've been in this series that we've called Gods at War. Gods being those things in our lives, those things in this world that begin to take, if you were, a war over us, a war over our affections. And it has a metaphor type look, but I want you to see these things, because our culture is blinded by their mastery over us. Our culture thinks that the things that we are talking about, that, oh, no, they don't master me, I master them. And it becomes a trap. And again, we've been talking about this in the week. So gods then are those things. And we talked about ancients, how that used to they gave names to these gods, how used to they would carve them out of stone or whatever, and you would bring your sacrifice to this particular god or goddess, and then you would be able, they would give you what they were the god or goddess of. And so, you know, that became kind of a pagan type worship, which we don't have as much in our culture. They still have that around the world, by the way, but not in our culture. But we still worship the same things. We just don't have a name for them, and we don't have a carved piece of stone for them. So it's an interesting thing. So we've talked about those gods, and then we've talked about the battleground is your heart. The battleground is, and when I talk about your heart, the metaphor of the heart, I'm talking about is who you are, foundation of who you are. We still use that terminology. We use it today. And so that becomes the battleground for your affections. Then the tactics that these gods at war use. Basically, it's sacrifice and service. What do you have to sacrifice for? And what do you have to serve? In other words, to give your time, give your resources. Those things that you spend a lot of your time thinking about. Those things that go on into your brain. Those things that will get into your mind. Those things that demand sacrifice of your time and of your resources. You can find out, the scripture teaches, you can find out where your heart is, okay, by where your treasure is. Because the scripture says that where your treasures are, that's where your heart's going to be. That is what you sacrifice for. So you can take a look at your time and your resources, your finances, your talents. You can take a look and see where you spend those things, and that's where your heart's going to go. So we've been talking about, we're really just getting started in this. But today I want us to, we're going to get to a subject today. We'll just call it the God of Sex. When you take a look in times past, there was always, usually it was a goddess. There was always a god or a goddess of sex or sexuality or fertility or whatever you want to call it. In every culture, okay, in every culture in history. And so, again, it becomes this thing. And we're just going to talk about this today. I decided you probably could have put this subject in what we did last week with the God of Pleasure. But it's much more than that. And so I have a desire today for you to understand some things. Okay? Aren't you glad you're inside? Okay? I want you to understand some things. You're going to hear some things from me that you're not going to hear out around you. Because I want you to see and understand this whole concept. And most people say, well, I understand. Okay, yeah, I get it. But have you ever understood why? This whole idea of the sexual relationship has become, has become obsessive in our culture. absolutely obsessive. Question is, why? Why? Why is this area of our lives takes up so much time of our thought life? And why does our culture obsess over it? Think about this. Why do men and women? I mean, again, I didn't realize this, and go ahead and warn you. I didn't realize that this may come across a little heavy. It's not my intent. I just want you to get to truth. Okay? But why do men and women sacrifice their families, their reputation, over this subject? You ever thought about that? What is it that's so powerful about what we're talking about today that will cause people to risk things in their lives? Okay? Risk friendships. Why? All over what we're talking about today. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Nobody ever asks that, okay? We always just talk about, you know, this romantic look in the movies and, oh, I had an affair, but everything was fine. You know, okay, but have you ever thought about why this is such a powerful area? Okay? That's what I want to talk to you about today, and I want you to hear. I want you to hear the trap. So we're going to keep the same... We're going to keep the same outline, okay? In fact, if you could just go ahead and write this outline down, you'll have the outline we're going to have for the rest of this series. It'll change as far as what we talk about, but it's basically number one, the gift, number two, the trap, and number three, the resolution, okay? Just write it down. It'll be that way every week, all right? But number one is this, is the gift. I want you to see that this whole idea was God's idea. You do realize that God invented this idea. I just want you to hear it. I mean, a lot of other people would say they've invented it, but I want you to know that God invented this. And God, as He created this, what we call the sexual relationship, it has a purpose. And you need to hear the purpose. You need to know why. Because while the majority of people get Google-eyed with this thought, I want you to know that careless use of this gift can be highly destructive. And if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever been with someone that has used this casually, you know what I mean when I say highly destructive. Not just to yourself physically, but there is so much tied up to a person's heart in what we're talking about today. So much of who they are. It's not just a physical act like shaking hands. There's a whole stack of chips that goes with it. I'm not saying I know everything, but I do know enough because I have been around enough that everyone who abuses this area pays the price for it. Everyone. Again, I told you this was hard to hear because our culture just casually jumps into this area as if there's no consequences, and it's just not the truth. I know guys, I know gals. I've spent time talking with them. But I know guys and gals right now that have so abused this area, they have no hope of having a family type relationship because they've so abused this area. They have no hope of relating with someone in a healthy way from the opposite sex. Well, no hope. I have to be careful there because there is a way. We're going to talk about that in resolution. Okay, because there is hope, but it's hard. It's hard to come back from this, and I don't know why. God knows why this area is much different. But see, this is not what you hear around you. You know, all you see is casual sex with no cost. On television and movies, all you see is there's never a problem. You know, oh, well, we had sex, but it wasn't a big deal. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Right? I want you to see the truth today, guys. And it may not be easy to look at, but it is the truth. It is the truth. And when it becomes a God, I want you to know, when it becomes what you pursue, when it becomes what you think about all the time, when it becomes something that is that obsessive, it begins to dictate. There's no more joy in it at all, even though it was created for joy, for pleasure. It's all lost when it's treated casually. Interesting. Interesting. And again, so as we take a look at this, number one is the gift. This number one is the gift. Let's take a look at a couple of things I want you to see. Okay, when you think about as far as it being a gift, obviously God created it, but it has a purpose. Okay? It does great. The relationship that God created does incredibly within its context. Let me tell you about it. Okay? When God created the whole idea of male and female kind of thing, all right, he created the whole idea of something of family and of husband, wife, and then obviously with this relationship, he tied children with it, right? If you don't understand that, meet me after, I'll explain it, how that works, all right? And therefore, it just makes sense. Just look at the common sense of it. Why is it there? As a family gets together, and then there's a specific relationship that his purpose was to be in family making, but much more than just simple procreation. It goes on towards intimacy and magnetism, bond, oneness. The two will become one. Therefore, God came up with something within, for a particular purpose, within a relationship. Now, remember this. Okay, this is real important. Okay, sex is not love. Never has been. It is a total lie to say making love. It does, because love's not made, number one. Number two, sex is not love. You've got to hear that. It feels like it because it has strong feelings with it. But remember this, it'll only enhance what is already there. If love is not there, then I'm here to tell you what we're talking about will bring, it will harden the heart. It'll bring coldness to a person that was never meant to bring coldness to. Why? Because it's used out of its context. Makes sense if you think about it. I just want you to see today why it's created. And then when we go down roads that go against why it was created, that is casual sex, that is the, you know, homosexual sex, that is all of those things that go that direction, I'm here to tell you it affects who we are. It affects the motor pathways in our own brain. I've just seen it so many times, and yet I'm amazed at how much ignorance there is. Out there about why God would create this. Why is this here? Was it intended for pleasure? Sure, of course. That's why it has pleasure to it. But pleasure only happens in the context. But you take it out of the context, yes, it'll still have some thrills and some pleasure to it. But you take a relationship, you take love out of it, which is where our culture is, it has some great destructiveness to it. Interesting. Just want you, again, the gift. What is the gift? Proverbs chapter 5. Don't turn to this. Just look at the screen. This is kind of interesting. That, again, Solomon said this. And what did you see kind of he saw it? How he saw it. His language is descriptive. And it's interesting. All right, let's take a look at it. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. I believe with all my heart that Proverbs chapter 5 was written for his son, as Solomon, after he messed up so much in this particular area, he was writing some wisdom to his son to follow. And he says in verse 15, this is interesting. He says, drink water from your own cistern. Okay, well, he's not talking about actual water here. If any of you have the thought there of what he's talking about. You're saying, Jeff, are you reading into that? Well, keep reading with me and you'll know I'm not. Okay. Therefore, drink water from your own cistern. This is interesting. Flowing water from your own well. Interesting. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? You hear what he's saying? So you're going to take this out into the streets? You're going to throw your life, that is what he calls the wells of water, that spring from, you're still going to throw your life out into the streets? Is that what you're going to do? Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Interesting. Let your fountain be blessed. you just understand. And rejoice in the wife of your youth. What's he talking about? And again, this goes both ways. He's just happened to talk to his son here. Therefore, remember that this is what it was considered. And I can go on to talk to you about this, but this goes beyond our thought today. But I'm here to tell you that this relationship can be bad also within a marriage. If it's not something, if you don't have a relationship with the person. See, this is built upon relationship. It's built upon love. And it can have incredible impact on a relationship that is loving. But a relationship that's bad, doesn't matter if it's a marital relationship or not, it just brings destruction. It's interesting, isn't it? And then interesting what he says here. He says, keep your eyes basically on the wife of your youth. This is interesting. And he goes on with some more descriptive language here. I'm going to go ahead and read it. All right. A lovely day. Yeah, you've already read it. I could tell. God bless you. All right. All right, verse 19. All right. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. I don't get that, but whatever. All right. Let her breast fill you at all time with delight. I do get that. Be intoxicated always in her love. So it talks to us about love here. Therefore, make sure that's where your affections go. That's where your eyes go. This is what he's talking about. It's a gift. Interesting. He goes on to say something else. Look at this. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Interesting. We don't use that word adulteress or adultery anymore, but it's pretty descriptive. Let's continue to read. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. I think that's interesting. The ensnaring, the trap. That's why I call it the trap. We'll talk about that in a minute. And is held fast in the cords of his sin. Why is it? Why is it that people hide and sneak in this area? Right? Why is it that people go to great lengths to risk so much? Because you're held fast in the cords of it. Look what else it says in verse 23. He dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he is led astray. I've watched people, obviously in doing what I do, I've had lots of experience with this, both in the church and without. Because you wouldn't believe how many people come from without to talk to me. Because I don't want anybody to know where they are. So they come and talk to you. And we're talking about men and women that are very successful, that are highly driven. Not just them, but because it's everybody. But how is it that somebody can have so much discipline to see so many things through and to get things done, and but then to have no discipline in this area? There's something about this area that is especially addicting, if you will, ensnaring. That's interesting. I just want you to see it. I just want you to hear it. Why? Why is it? All right, number two is the trap. This one's not hard. Because if anybody understands, I mean, only the very young have not seen the trap yet. Yes, there are some who are very young, probably in this room, that have not seen the trap. But by and large, most people who've lived very long, who have gone into this area, understand the trap that goes with it, understands how these things happen. All right. As we think about the trap, I just want you to hear it. It's more than just, again, it's more than just a It's more than just a physical act. There's much more to it than that. You know, as you think, this sexual relationship, it's a great gift. But it, again, I say this everywhere, it makes a terrible God. Right? When it becomes your pursuit, I've got whole groups of people who talk to me, and it just is, it's an amazing thought to me. And they look to me and they're sitting there with me and they're talking and they're talking about how much better this relationship is than the one with their spouse. And what they're talking about is that the sex is better. And I look at these people, and you can't say this because they'll get up and walk out. You can't look at them and say, is that all that there is for you? How many people have I said, well, we were together until the sex ran out. So that's all you had? Guys, if that's all you're looking for, you are cruising for a bruising. If that is it, in relationships or marriage relationships or family, you might as well not even start. Because it is doomed for failure. Why? Because this part of the relationship does not have what it takes to hold up a relationship. At best, it enhances. But if nothing's there, it will only destroy. You need to hear that. You need to see the purpose and the power behind it. It's intimacy that doesn't take very long. But also it doesn't last either. I just want you to hear it. Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's like a narcotic. It can make you feel close for a handful of minutes. Oh yeah, there's a thrill that goes through. There's tingling in your spine or whatever they say, right? There's all those things. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But then shame comes afterwards, right? Why? Because it's based on nothing. And we wonder why we feel sometimes the way we feel. Oh, I just thought I was so in love with him last night, but this morning I'm not in love with him. And we don't realize the trap. We can't see that. Guys, I'm not just some pastor up here that's saying, no, you can't have fun. I'm wanting you to see the truth. What is the truth about this? Because our culture is sex crazy. People are telling you that in order to really be satisfied in this life, you've got to get this area right. Go to a counselor. They can help you with all the different techniques you can use. I'm here to tell you, you're going to end up empty, guys. If it becomes a pursuit, you will be disappointed. It's just going to happen. Oh, I don't believe it, Jeff. Well, then go try your plan. And then when you find out how empty it is, come back then. If you're not willing to listen to me. Because I'm telling you, you'll find it to be the truth. And yet the movies and everything show it to be so much more. Oh, I found my soulmate. Which they're really telling you, I found my sex mate. And that's a joke. That is a joke. That is a lie. And yet so many believe it. So many believe it. Because it is powerful. Let's take a look at the scriptures here. What it says here. And I had you turn to this. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 12, it says this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be, here this is classic, I will not be dominated, okay? I will not be dominated. I will not be dominated by anything. If you like writing in your Bible, underline the phrase dominated. I know men today, I've grown up with them some. And I know I had to apologize last night. Ladies, I'm not a girl. You need to translate this for yourself. But I'm going to talk directly to men because I know. But guys, how many guys do you know? Is that men that are so dominated by this subject that nothing else can come out of their mouth? I mean, you're talking obsessive. This is anytime you make some, in fact, I'm even a little worried today making some off comment that sounds sexual and everybody laughs. Why? Because people are so obsessed, especially men. I'm not saying it's only men because it's not the truth. Because pornography, the viewership of pornography is, believe it or not, is skyrocketing among women, which I find amazing. Anyway. But have you ever wondered? I mean, that, it is so out of control, guys, and some of us, perhaps in this room, that this is all that happens, this is all we think about. And it always leads to emptiness. It never comes through like it says it's going to. No matter what might happen, no matter what conquest may be there, it's never it. Why? He goes on to say here, look at this. It says, food's meant for the stomach. In other words, God says, I'm the creator of everything. I made food for the stomach, and I made stomach for the food. In other words, that's its purpose. In other words, the stomach is here in order to digest the food so that you can have energy in the rest of your body. I made the stomach for that. That's what he says. And then, obviously, the others are going to fall away anyway. But look what he says here. Look what God says here in chapter 6, verse 10. He says, the body is not meant for sexual morality. In other words, the stomach is meant for food, but I'm here to tell you, the body in which I gave you is not meant to have casual sexual relationships. It's just not meant for it. Interesting. He says, but it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay. And it goes on to say that God raised the Lord and will also raise up us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the member of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Interesting thought. Never. Or do you know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? It gives us another interesting thought here. Oneness. The joining of two people is more than just a physical act like a handshake. There's something that happens here. There's something that God has connected to it. Joined one body, and he talks about here, to a prostitute. And I just wanted to go back to the thought of what does it mean to join, to become one? In fact, as I think I told you before, the Hebrew word for sex is the mingling of souls. Right? Interesting. So as again, you begin to look these together, for it is written, it says there in verse 15, I believe it is, two will become one flesh. I mean, that's a whole marriage thing, right? That's the whole commandment. You know, the first commandment had nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment way predated all the Ten Commandments. And it was a man will leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And they're no longer two, but they're one, right? It says, therefore, to run away from sexual immorality, for every sin a person commits, all right, this is interesting, commits outside the body. I don't want you to miss this. You take a look at it. It says, every other sin, that is, every other sin there is, a person commits is outside of who we are. Now, look at this. Take a look at the next one. But the sexual moral person looks at this, sins against himself. You're actually shooting yourself. I think that's amazing. Therefore, the thief that goes out and steals, he steals from someone else. But the one here steals from himself. Stabs himself, hits himself, shoots himself, herself. You know what I'm saying? Again, I just want you to see it and what the Bible thinks about it. It's not just, no, you can't do that. Or in times past, the church has always tried to make sex evil. It is not evil. I'm here to tell you, it's one of the greatest gifts God gave. But I'm here to tell you, like any other gift God gives, if it becomes a god, it becomes highly destructive. It's like everything else. But even more so this way. This is like damaging the psyche, the soul part of you. Anyway, I'll let you read the rest of it. It goes on to talk about you're not your own, and if you're a believer here today. I'm amazed that, again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But I'm amazed today that Christian people don't live much different lives than those who aren't believers in the sexual area. It's pretty much the same. And my friends, that should not be. That should not be. Why is it, though? And I understand there's no condemnation here. I'm not that way. Why? Because I understand that all of us have the opportunity to fall, and I know the culture, guys, you live in. I know how pervasive this is. I know how it bombards you everywhere you go. Guys, I want you to know that the pornography industry is killing us. But the pornography industry is bigger than all sports combined. I want you to think about that. Any of you watch college football yesterday? Did you see how many people are in the stands? You know how many people were watching on television? You know how much money they're making? And then add to that pro football, pro basketball, pro baseball, and all the people and all the money. I want you to know the pornography industry is bigger than all of it. Over 50% of websites on the internet are pornographic in nature. Question. Why? Because people are looking at them, number one. People are allowing their minds to run wild and creating fantasies in their own brain, and then we wonder why we're struggling. Right? It's addictive because of what it does in the brain. And guys, I'm here to tell you, the problem today, when I was a kid, you had to go into one of those stores and get one of those magazines and then somehow find somebody to go buy it for you. And I don't want to be heartless here, but now a 9-year-old has seen more than most adults because it's pervasive and it affects your heart and your mind. And the more you soak into it, the bigger, the more its grip has on you. You ever wonder why it just calls you? When you establish those pathways towards that, it takes a lot to undo it. I just need you to hear the truth. Because of the secret nature of it, I mean, you've got some that they'll spend hours a day in this stuff. And the effect it has on us and how we look when we look at people. We don't look at them as people anymore. They become objects. It is not who we're supposed to be. And I'm telling you what, it's not what you're looking for. But it can be a God that can dictate your sacrifice and your heart. This is one of those gods that demand you to sacrifice your heart to. Because it keeps asking for more. Anyway, I didn't tell you it'd be easy to hear, but it is the truth. You've been lied to in this area, I really believe. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Therefore, put a guard." We talked about this the first week. Put a guard on your heart and what you let into it, because what you let into it affects you far more than you think. Guarding your thoughts in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, says, "In every opinion raise itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ," or in Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about that, how that happens in just a minute. I want you to hear a couple of things. Kyle Eidelman, who is, by the way, you're going to see, if you're in a connection group today, you're going to see a powerful video. These connection groups are going along with me, these small groups, and you're going to see a powerful video today. And Kyle Eidelman was a guy who put some of this material together, but he wrote something that I just want to read to you. It won't take long. He says, "As a gift," that is sex, sexual relationship, "as a gift, it brings connectivity or connection. But as a god, it only leads to loneliness. As a gift, it brings pleasure. But as a god, it just leads to emptiness." Okay? As a gift, it brings satisfaction. But as a god, it demands slavery. As a gift, it brings intimacy. But as a god, it only brings separation. It's a beautiful gift, but it's a tyrant of a god. Interesting. All right, so as I close, let's get to the resolution. I'm just about done. So, Jeff, what do we do now? Okay, that's been great. It's good to hear. But what do we do now? Yeah, I'm here to tell you, again, How do we get it in perspective? It's one of the most difficult areas to get perspective, especially when perspective has been lost. You know, I know some people. Guys, this has happened through the years, and it's this area mainly. But I've had times to share with people about who Christ was. And it's invariably, isn't this interesting? I want you to hear this. Invariably, I'll be sharing who Christ is and why he came and what he did at the cross. I'll be sharing with somebody. And immediately they'll stop me. This has happened on more than one occasion. And they'll look and they'll say, what does the Bible say you can't have sex before marriage if you become a believer? And I said, well, that's what the scripture says. Well, then I don't want to become one. All right, now listen to me. Don't just hear that. Hear what they're saying. What are they saying by that? It's a God. It means more to me than who Christ is and what he did. Again, you just see it. Again, the resolution of it is not easy, but it is possible. Okay? The resolution of it is, in fact, if you want to know how hard the resolution is, read the book of 1 Corinthians. The city of Corinth was the most sexualized city of the ancient world. I mean, it was, I've told you before, if you've been here when I've talked through 1 Corinthians, I've been there to the ancient city of Corinth, and you have this big marketplace, and the patron god of Corinth was Aphrodite, the goddess of sexual love. And upon the top of the hill in Corinth was this big temple for her. And then I want you to know that 1,000 temple prostitutes came into the city every night, right, to practice the worship of Aphrodite, right? And isn't it interesting how that the way that you worship is to have sex, and the way you have sex is to pay these temple prostitutes to have sex with you, right? And that's how you worshiped. So you're talking about Corinth was a decadent place. That's why these verses we've read in 1 Corinthians, you know, how in the world, now that you become a believer, what does it mean, Paul said, when you now join yourself with a prostitute? He's telling them what it means and how much of a struggle it's going to be. And the Corinthians had a real struggle getting through this. Okay? But how did you get away from it? If you're looking at me and you're saying, Jeff, I hear you. I don't want this to dominate in my life anymore. I'm telling you what, folks, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of work. It takes time, which most people aren't willing to give. But number one, let me just tell you a few things you can do. All right. First and foremost and most important is to seek the Lord. All right. Seek the Lord. Because what happens is you can't just say no to a God. There's too much power there. You have to replace the God. And you have to replace this God with the real God, the true one, the one that has power. Because the scripture says if you seek him, you will find him. And you will find the strength to overcome things in your life that you cannot overcome on your own. That is the picture of seeking the Lord. If you say, Jeff, I don't know how. First of all, you may need to become a believer if this is something you really want to talk about. If you really want to know who the true God is, if you really want to find contentment, satisfaction, the things that the scriptures teach, you're going to find out in the next couple of weeks just how important that is. I don't have time as much to share with you today. But again, I just want you to say, what is it? Seek the Lord. And the Bible promises you will find him and you will find the strength. All right? Also, the scripture says that he wants you to live in freedom. He doesn't want anything. Remember what we said there with Paul said, all things are lawful for me. All things are not, you know, expedient. But I will not be dominated by anything. Why? Because I have one who lives in my life who has set me free from those things, and I will not live in that slavery anymore. So therefore, I know it's possible. Okay, but I tell you what, especially this area. When this area gets its hooks into us, It's gonna take some time and effort for it to get to freedom here, right? To freedom here. Number one, seek the Lord. Number two, stop polluting. Stop polluting. You're gonna have to cut it off. It says there to guard your heart. The way you guard your heart is to guard what goes into your mind. That is, guard your thoughts. Right? It says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. This is the New King James. It says, "For as he thinks," that is a man or a woman, "thinks in his or her heart, so is he." So what you think about is who you're going to become. So anyone who can guard what goes into their thoughts can order their lives. Not as easy as it sounds, though. Therefore, what is it you allow into your mind? Some things you can't help. You live in the world you live, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you can guard it as best you can, right? I love that thought. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And nobody can judge that but you. Why? Because you're the only one that knows what goes on in your mind. Right? I can't judge you and say, boy, your thought life's terrible. How do I know? You have people that try to say that, but you don't know. Only you know. But the way to change that is to change how you think. I've told you this illustration before. I'm going to tell it again because I think it's just so profound. Many years back, they were talking about cleaning up the Everglades. Right? We're going to clean up the Everglades. So they thought about establishing these big work details, you know, to go clean up all the trash. Go clean up all the trash. You know, it's going to take this huge, you're going to load up all this stuff and clean up all the trash. Clean the trash. All right, here we go. And that's not bad. Okay, but it is a fruitless effort if you're still polluting it. They found out, scientists, and lots of dollars spent, they spent a lot of money to find out the obvious. The way to clean up the Everglades, don't miss this, is to stop polluting it. And it will cleanse itself. Now, isn't that a shock? Gee, I could have helped them out there and they could have paid me the $1 million or whatever they did to figure that out. Why? Because if you know anything about the Everglades, it's fresh water that flows. Flows slow. Takes time. But if you'll just stop polluting it, it will cleanse itself. Your mind is the same way. If you can just stop polluting it, it'll cleanse itself. But it's harder than it sounds. All right? It's harder than it sounds. But it does happen, and I've seen it happen dozens and dozens and dozens of times. As people seek the Lord first, that is, you've got to replace it with something, and they start filling their mind with other things, good things, things that don't pollute, stop polluting, and all of a sudden things begin to cleanse, and all of a sudden, over time, you don't see it happen at once, but over time you look back and say, wow, things really are different. I don't think the way I used to think. I look at a girl, I look at a guy, and I don't think the way I used to think that I used to think every time I saw one. Isn't it interesting? Incredible how it works. And then and especially in this area, you're going to need some help. You're going to need a friend. You're going to need somebody to help you through this. Somebody that's been there, somebody that can help you, somebody that can walk you through, somebody that you can go to when you're feeling your weakest. I mean, the scripture teaches that two are better than one. You know, if one falls, then there's not another one there to pick him or her up. And so, yeah, again, I just threw that one in there. Okay. Again, as I close today, there's so much in this area that can be talked about. There's so much because it is pervasive in everything in our culture. I mean, I'm amazed the advertising industry that ties everything to the sexual relationship. I don't know about you guys, but I'm shocked that toothpaste can do that much. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's all I got to do is buy that body spray and I'm going to be attacked. You ever wonder why all that stuff shares that? Why? Because it's pervasive, guys, in our culture. And everybody seems to sacrifice at the altar of this false god. Don't let you be the one that doesn't.